You're listening to Productive Flourishing. Thanks for joining us today.
You know, for myself personally, as well as the work I do with clients, it can be so easy to really hone in and focus on those things that we didn't do. And so when it comes to a review, the celebrations are a wonderful way to start. And I really appreciate that.
Welcome to Productive Flourishing, where we explore how to do the work that matters so you become your best self in the world. I'm your host, Charlie Gilkey, and I'm joined by Angela Wheeler and other guests who will share their stories, insights, wins, and challenges in the hopes that our journeys and stories will help you with yours. Now, on to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Productive Flourishing Podcast. It's the end of the year, and you know, Angela and I are going to be jamming about a lot of things. So, Angela, thanks for joining me today.
I'm excited to be here.
Alrighty. So, the end of the year is a really interesting time because it creates a natural point in time where people start thinking about how the year has gone, so on and so forth. And as much as we talk about doing regular reviews and regular AARs, it's just one of those things, I think, where we all come to a consensus that we need to think about what's happened over the last year. So, We're getting a lot of questions from our listeners and readers about ways to do annual reviews or to think about assessing the year. And so we're going to jump in and talk about that today. Now, what I want to say is this is not the first time we've done this. We have other episodes on this. So you might want to check out episode 121, which is how to be intentional during the holidays, and episode 108, which is how to align your goals and projects with your seasonal energy. So we talked about it during those times too, because it comes up every year. And you know, Angela, it's one of those things, like I realized, was it earlier this year? And there was a big milestone that I don't know that we really talked about a whole lot. And that's, you know, Productive Flourishing turned 10 years old.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, I think back in April or May. And that affected me more than I thought it might, right? I thought it would just be another one of those passing things. And so, you know, given that I'm 37 now, about to be 38, I'm imagining that the same thing might happen when I'm 40, but that's neither here nor there. But what I realized is, you know, it's 10 years and we're still in this. We're still talking about some of the same things. And for me, like the magic is still there. Like this is something that every year we're better. Every year we need to ask the same questions. And so, yeah, it's just fun. I mean, that's what I was thinking. Like we talk about this every year. And I'm like, yeah, we talk about this every year because it's a thing that happens every year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were thinking about like, okay, what are we going to talk about on the podcast? And, you know, as you mentioned, we've had a lot of people who are asking about things like self-care during the holidays, how to be with family, and also a lot of people asking about how do I review my year and how do I prepare for next year. And so we're, you know, we want to kind of focus on reviewing your year, but we're also, since I'm on the podcast today, we're also obviously going to have to talk about things related to self-care because that's kind of my thing.
Apparently so.
Yeah.
What's funny though is like we both actually, you know, talk a lot about self-care. It's just, I think, a primary lens for you more so than it is for me. Like I assume it's a given.
Yeah.
until I realize, oh yeah, it's not a given. We actually do need to talk about these types of things. And
Before you dive all the way in.
Uh-oh.
Okay. All right. I'm interrupting. I want to start with, first of all, wishing everyone happy holidays before we kind of dive into the topic.
And yeah, there's that.
I know that this is coming out, you know, mid to late December. So it's a great time of year to be reflecting and thinking about what's happened during the year, what you're excited about, what you're grateful for. So I did want to say, no matter what you celebrate or however you celebrate it, that I hope that the holidays are very happy for all of you this year. Thanks for letting me interrupt.
Oh, yeah, the holidays. That.
Yeah.
Well, we'll slide this in here, and it's related to the self-care thing. It's also related to, I believe, to the podcast, episode 121, is that a lot of times people will roll into the holiday season Did we talk about this in our last episode? I feel like we talked about this recently. Anyways.
I don't know what you're going to talk about.
But a lot of times when we roll into the holiday seasons, people have some tension between being productive and being with family and being in the season.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to slide again, in case you didn't hear that episode, and if we did talk about it recently, which I feel like we did, just remember that during this period of time, being with family, reflecting, being in the season, showing gratitude and giving gifts and all those types of things, that is a way of being productive. That's a way of doing something that matters. And the way we talk about productivity is just not about cranking widgets and, you know, crossing off the to-do list, but it's doing the things that matter most.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of connections that will happen over the holiday season that are things that really, really, truly matter. And so make time for them then. And just as you start talking about your, you know, other types of productivity, you know, where we really want to get to is that there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah.
Right. And this is just that time. And, you know, no matter what you do, people hate when I tell them this, but I'm going to tell them it is when, you know, no matter what you do, your reach will always exceed your grasp. There's always going to be things on the to-do list. There's always going to be things on the project list that you're not going to get to.
Yeah.
Make sure that the things that don't get done are the things that matter less than the things that you're doing.
Exactly.
Okay. As a part of this process, and it's been something that's been coming up, and just part of the work that I do with clients, I actually created a new worksheet because I've been leading a lot of annual reviews and things like that. And so this will actually be available in the show notes if you want to come back to the website, and we'll also have them likely on our free planners page. The name is still up in the air, to be honest. It's one of those things that's hot off the press, and we have to go through several rounds of naming to find something. And so it's either going to be the annual reflection worksheet or the my year in review worksheet. But it's all the same thing. This is not going to be a tutorial about how to use that, but we're just using the questions there and repurposing it because, you know, why recreate the wheel here?
Exactly.
Okay. So when you start thinking about the year, if any slice of time in review, number one rule, always start with the celebrations and the things that you've done. Yeah. Always start from that perspective, because too often we start from the perspective of things that are undone and, you know, the gap between where we are and where we want to be.
Yeah.
But I like people to think about the gap between where they are now and where they were.
Yeah.
Because you are doing something as a creative person out there. You are doing something as an entrepreneur. You are doing something as a leader. And yes, you may not get everything done that you want to. And yes, there will always be things that are undone. But you've also done some things. So always start that.
Yeah.
Always start from that perspective. So that's the first question when you're thinking about the year is what are the things that you're celebrating? And I like really pulling it into top three things, like those things that would go in a journal, or if you're looking at year over year, those types of things that would really be phenomenal that you want to remember. Not all the nits and gnats, right?
Yeah.
The other thing that you'll see on that to be named worksheet, if you check it out, but I always want people to think about their personal life and their professional life and separate those buckets. Even though we know that life and career or life and business are not separate things, in my experience, far too often the lens goes to what have I done in my career this year?
Yeah.
And what's discounted is what have I done in my life this year? Right. So that's really the first place to stop. What are the top three things from this year on your career life or your professional life or your personal life?
Yeah. Are you wanting me to answer this question?
I don't know. Right. I don't want to be talking the whole time and just going through the worksheet, though. Right. Because I can do a screencast about
that. It's true. No. It's absolutely true. I really appreciate your perspective with this about starting with the celebrations. And I agree wholeheartedly. You know, for myself personally, as well as the work I do with clients, it can be so easy to really hone in and focus on those things that we didn't do. And so when it comes to a review, the celebrations are a wonderful way to start. And I really appreciate that. And I'd actually, you know, since we're kind of, you know, we're kind of intertwining, you know, this thing that we've come up with in the business for the year in review, as well as like what it looks like for us and what our readers have been asking about and our listeners. I'd actually love for us, if you're open to it, to maybe even just one thing. If we, you know, I know I'm up for it, but maybe if we feel like celebrating, you know, one or two things and sharing it, it might also be helpful for people to think about when they're thinking about like how they want to review their own year. Does that sound like something you'd be up for?
No, let's move to the next question.
No, we are not moving to the challenges.
Like I had We're a real choice there, Angela.
I know.
All right, so you go first then.
Oh, fine. Okay. So let me think. So I would have to say that one of my top celebrations from this year, you know, I'll be honest that there have been some really great things, both professionally and personally. The first thing that's coming to mind for me, though, is the, I guess, the new coaching practice for me and what that looks like and how, you know, you really stepped in mid-year and helped me to redevelop what the coaching looks like for me. And so, you know, mid-year I launched Clarity Coaching and kind of a new avenue for me in that world. And it has been, golly, the words escape me a little bit right now, but it has been a real blessing, that work, because it's gotten me back into the work that I love the most, the absolute most in the whole wide world. And that is being on a journey with someone and helping them to realize what they're able to do and seeing them putting it out in the world. It's like, sweet, I get paid for the most awesome work in the whole wide world.
Yeah, that's what winning looks like.
Yeah, it is. And so I would say that that's probably one of my biggest celebrations from this year. Yeah. What about you?
Well, what's your personal one, though?
Ooh, personal celebration. I would say that a big personal celebration for me, I'm not going to leave it so vague as it's not helpful, but I also don't want to like get down into the super details of it, because a little bit of it is, you know, it involves other people as well. But a big personal victory for me this year, and a celebration is the way I have brought in boundaries into my life with relationships with people, and really being able to hold boundaries that honor myself and my relationships with people, and allows me to be a better friend, be a better partner, be a better family member. So I would say that along the lines of personal celebrations, that my continued work on boundaries and following through with them is probably one of the biggest for me at this point in time.
Yeah, that's been super, super cool to watch you sort of grow with your coaching practice, and also grow with the boundaries, because I think the other thing, you didn't put it as your top goal, but readers who have been, you know, following on PF have noticed that there's been a lot more content coming from Angela over the last couple of months, right?
Yeah.
And the interrelationship between the two is where that's coming from, because it's one, being on the journey and documenting the journey and thinking about what's coming up and freeing that trap content's been great, but also creating the boundaries so that you actually sit down and write and get things done. And it's not easy at all.
No.
not easy at all. So that's been amazing to see come to fruition.
Thank you. Thank you. So what about you? I'd love to, you know, again, we're not going to take all this time to go through this whole worksheet, but I really love the idea of being able to share celebrations with people. So I would love it if you'd be up for sharing, you know, one of your personal and or business celebrations.
Yeah. So I'll start with the career side of things.
Yes.
Professional side of things. And this is still new. Like when we're recording to this, this is only a few days old, but mm-hmm. I agreed to a book deal with Sounds True. So you may have read this on Productive Flourishing and things like that. And so I'm going to be writing a book next year. So I'm under contract for writing a book. Tentatively titled Start Finishing, How to Go From Idea to Done. And that's, it's not just a book in a lot of ways. I mean, it is a book, mm-hmm. but this has been something, as Angela and the team and my friends know, like it's been on my list for quite a while.
Yeah.
And to not be crossing into 2018 with, you know, finish and sell the book proposal, mm-hmm. right, is really powerful. And so that's it. And it's a new challenge. It's mm-hmm. a new challenge. And that's where earlier this year I was talking to Angela and some of my mastermind peeps. And it's like, you know, I'm ready for new challenges. I'm the old ones that have been in our business. And like, mm-hmm. let's put those to bed and let's open some new challenges. And luckily, I mean, if I had to slide in the second one, between just the platform growth we've had and the product sales that we've had and just such a great year on so many things, mm-hmm. like we put to bed a lot of the like evergreen challenges.
Yeah.
Or at least in this time cycle, who knows, they might come back up. But for now, we're having to answer and solve fundamentally different problems. And that's you know, I like that. And so on the personal side, that one's a bit more tricky. I mean, this is why I put it in there, because we mm-hmm. always start with like, here's the win there. I think for me has actually been, it's related to the work side of things, mm-hmm. but Angela, you know about it, but you know, around mid-year when I was getting close to, you know, and when I was getting close to the on-ramp of Burnout Highway, mm-hmm. I pulled back from a lot of different things and just really started, I mean, the theme of boundaries comes back up, but really started to say, okay, like, I'm going to start doing things differently. And saying no to some different things and getting more clear about my expectations and intentions of myself and things mm-hmm. like that. And so right now I'm a lot more grounded and happy than I have been in years past on the personal side.
Yeah.
Because of those changes and mm-hmm. because it's not always you know, I wouldn't say that I was ever to the point to where it felt like I was just always out of breath because I was running so hard. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't quite that feeling, but there's just a different, energy now. And it's largely because I'm like, you know, there are just things I'm not doing anymore. Mm-hmm. And whether that's my recent sort of tirade against Facebook, you know, of just being like, I think I'm going to go to an inbox mentality with Facebook and only check it, you know. And to some of the other choices that I made around media consumption and things like that, it just really reclaimed a whole hell of a lot of my time.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's fun. You know, I'm actually excited about sitting down to do this worksheet myself and seeing what the team comes up with as well, because, you know, we have our annual audit of our team next week, and everyone has been getting ready, you know, preparing all the things that they've accomplished and the things they want to work on for next year. And so I guess kind of the thing, you know, two points here is, you know, being your spouse and life partner as well, it's been really great to see and be able to celebrate with you in these changes and that have taken place in the last year. So, you know, that's one point. And then the second point I was just thinking about is, you know, next week we get to meet with our whole team for a few hours and we all get to celebrate each other mm-hmm. and what we've accomplished this year, as well as looking forward to what next year is going to hold. And so I guess what's coming up for me, you know, as I'm thinking about this is, you know, I kind of want to put a challenge out of some sorts for people to, you know, to do this reflection for themselves, but also see, you know, is there someone else in your life You know, whether it be a life partner or a family member or a friend or your team, if you work on a team, that you can ask them to do this reflection as well. So that, you know, it's nice to have people on the journey with you. And it's really exciting to get to share those things that have happened, as well as rally and get support whenever the challenges are coming up, because more heads are so much better at figuring things out than having to, you know, silo yourself and figure it out on your own.
Yeah. And that's a really great challenge. If you do this, especially if you do it with new teammates, and that could be your life team or that could be your business team, mm-hmm. It's going to be important for you to say why those things are important to you.
Yeah,
exactly. Because that's where the real magic happens, right? Yeah. Not just like, I did the thing, but really, what's the story about that thing?
Mm-hmm.
So that you really see what makes them tick and mm-hmm. really acknowledge them from that perspective. So yeah. Absolutely. This is the one time of the year. Well, not one time. There are plenty of times, but you know, when we do our team strategy discussions and things like that, that's the one of those periods where I miss having an all local team.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we have a remote team, and we're between, you know, here in California and, you know, Washington, and you know, so it would be really great to be able to pull the team and go to a spa and then have like a retreat day, right, where we're talking about, or you know, go to a beach side sort of mm-hmm. thing. So it's one time I miss that, actually, is yeah. we don't get to do the in-room celebrations together.
Yeah, yeah. But that I think that that's going to be something that we're changing here in the coming year. Like, because we did, you know, last year, a little earlier than this, we did do a team retreat with mm-hmm. all of us. You know, there was traveling involved, but we all kind of came together in one place, and that was more, because we did have new teammates, it was more the planning side of it. But now you've got me... I got the thinking hat on. I'm also, I guess most listeners probably don't know this, I am the financial side of the business as well. So I'm also the one who looks at money stuff, as well as what can be spent and good ways to spend money. And I'm thinking that I think it's about time for a team retreat again.
Did you say Hawaii?
I did not say Hawaii. However.
Maybe Costa Rica.
We'll talk. Okay.
So her being the money side of the business and me being the I want stuff side of the business.
I know,
like,
right?
I know that I have to seed things like 9 months in advance to start, you know, creeping it into our consciousness. So mm-hmm. we'll see what happens with this. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned, yeah.
To the next episode of wait a second. Okay, so, you know, next question on there. And this is going to be one, you know, that you think about. And I think this is where people actually start
mm-hmm.
is... You know, looking over the last year, what three things most challenged you, mm-hmm. right? What three things most challenged you? And again, personal and professional.
Yeah.
Now, what's really great about this one is you will often see a tight relationship between the things that challenge you professionally
mm-hmm.
and things that challenge you personally. Now,
yeah.
If you have a butthole boss, like it might show up in the professional side. It may not show up on the other side. But what you might find, though, is your butthole boss leads to... you know, friction in your personal relationships with people because you're tired yeah. and stressed out and, you know, you've been run over all day and you go home and you take it out on other people.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why I wanted to do these side by side, right, as mm-hmm. opposed to one thing, because sometimes you just see like this. Another thing that you'll often see is that the same theme shows up professionally that shows up personally.
Yeah.
So if you're lacking, say, discipline, you know, professionally, it's unlikely that you have it, you know, personally.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, a lot of things, Angela does too. A lot of my clients actually select for athletes or people who have something like a military background or some that have done that type of thing because they've already developed personal discipline
mm-hmm.
that we can apply to a professional setting.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a lot of times people who have no sort of discipline on the professional setting. On the personal side, the struggle on the professional side. And I know so many out there are like, oh, he said the D word. I hate the D word. But you just might see that there's a parallel between those two things. And you might also say that, like, for instance, if you had illness in the family,
mm-hmm.
You know, or you had a major life transition, divorce, you know, kids going to college and things like that, that's going to show up in both places.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the reason that's important to really put on there is I think a lot of times people attribute things that have or have not happened to their own personal failings. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there's external events that if we were actually treating people like people or treating ourselves like we would want to treat other people and be a little bit more humane about it, he's like, oh, well, you know, you lost your mom this year. It makes sense that, you know, you're having some challenges on the professional and personal side because that's what happens, mm-hmm. like one way or the other.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Alrighty. So third question. Looking over the last year, what have been your top three lessons learned or reaffirmed? Okay. Mm-hmm. When you look at the year and what happened, or you look at a certain time and what happened, not from a place of you pass fail.
Yeah.
But what you learned and what, you know, what you grew into, it really pushes you towards a sort of a growth mindset, to use Carol Dweck's work from Mindset. It pushes you towards that sort of side. And you can kind of see, okay, well, you know, here's what I learned about myself. Mm-hmm. And the trick, or the, not the trick, the goal is not to have to keep relearning the same damn lesson over and over again.
Yeah.
However, right, sometimes you just have to, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, people sometimes think like, oh, I'm back to the same space again. And I just encourage people to think of life more like a corkscrew, mm-hmm. and that you come back around to the problem at a higher level, right? And so it's not that you just come right back to the same spot. It might be that you've mastered one level of something. Mm-hmm. But as you're... prowess and competence and opportunity set has increased. Mm-hmm. You have to master that thing again at a higher level.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Now if it's just, you keep doing the same thing over and over again, mm-hmm. I'm, you know, the coaching thing to say about that was like, you know, stop doing that. Right. And, and figure out real patterns and behavior change that keep you from doing that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so just really look at some of those things that are, you learned again because you've been at a higher rung on the corkscrew, mm-hmm. or that you had to learn it again because it didn't hurt bad enough the first time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that's kind of the backwards looking aspect of it. Three questions. Mm-hmm. What things are you most proud of? Those are the wins. Mm-hmm. What things, the three things most challenged you? Those are the gut punches and things that, you know, kept you up at night. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, what have been the top three lessons learned that mm-hmm. you can take with you going forward?
Yeah. Yeah.
Past that, I haven't talked about the four steps of wayfinding on the podcast that much, have I?
I don't think so.
All right. So I use this all the time when I'm doing facilitation and with clients and things like that. I just haven't talked about it here. So four steps, and this is not related to the Wayfinding Academy directly, although we sort of talk about some of the same things at the Wayfinding Academy as well. Four steps. First step is knowing where you are. Mm-hmm. Four steps of wayfinding, to be clear. First step is knowing where you are. Second step is knowing where you're trying to go. Third step is having a roadmap between where you are and where you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. And then the fourth one is knowing how to correct course when you get off course.
Yeah.
Right. So those are the four steps. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're doing a review and whenever you're starting to make strategy, like I always want to encourage people to start with exactly where they are. And when we figure out where we are is to really think about where we've been. Mm-hmm. And so those first questions are really like starting from here's where you are and here's how you got here. Mm-hmm. Great. Then you start thinking, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
And so you got, you know, personal and professional again. What are the top three goals for next year? Mm-hmm. It's probably time to talk about goals.
Yeah.
Right. Angela gave me the look like, oh, yeah, there's this thing that you're supposed to be creating, Charlie. But moving on. When we think about goals, there are two different types of goals. Right, that we can really think of here. There are the quantitative goals. Mm-hmm. You get some number of something that's trackable and quantifiable in that way. Mm-hmm. Or they're more baseline or milestone-based deadlines. Like you've done something that you can check off and say, I've done that. Right. Mm-hmm. And so you really want to look at it one of two ways. And so if you want to write four books, rather than write books for the year, that's kind of a crappy goal. Right. How many? What counts as winning you want. So that would be more of that milestone baseline one that you finished it, you got out the door, done. So it's a yes, no. So you want to get, when you start thinking about goals, as much as you can, get to a place where you can say, did I do that or did I not do it? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be like that. Maybe, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of material on the website about how to set goals. Mm-hmm. We'll link to one in the show note, but if you look up SMART goals, or if you search SMART goals and productive flourishing, you'll come up with one of our posts that help with goal setting. So you can check that out. But in this simple version for people who are probably listening to this while they're washing dishes or commuting, you just really want to have either a quantitative one or a baseline one, mm-hmm. that where you can say, we did this or we did not do this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Can you give an example of, well, do you have a specific goal yet for next year?
Yeah, I've got to finish the manuscript for Start Finishing.
Oh, that is a very, very specific.
By September 1st, 2017, because okay. that's in there. So that's, I either do it or I don't.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And finish the manuscript has a technical term. Doesn't mean all of the edits that might come back and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. I got to get them a full draft of the book by September 1st, 2017. Mm-hmm. So that's a more baseline / milestone one. Right. Yeah. We have some around that are quantitative, like a certain number of newsletter subscribers that we want to have, or a certain number of email subscribers that we mm-hmm. want to have mm-hmm. That we can put on the board as well. So that would be a quantitative goal.
Perfect. Okay. That's super helpful.
Now remember, we're also including personal stuff here too. Right. And so this is where you want to avoid sort of the BS, like lose weight goal.
Yeah.
Right. How much weight?
Yeah.
Right. Or maybe it's not lose weight. Maybe it's fit into a size 6 pair of jeans. Right. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. You can get there. So just avoid those super fuzzy ones, because mm-hmm. you don't know whether you want or not. And the whole goal is to build a winnable game that motivates you.
Exactly. Exactly. That's great.
So rather than I want to start running, maybe say I want to run 4 or 5K marathons or 5Ks next year. Mm-hmm. You get the point here. Like make it something specific and make it something where you can check that yes, no sort of block.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Now, next question to think about is what needs to change for you to achieve those goals, right? Mm-hmm. What needs to change to achieve those goals? Now, sometimes you can just keep doing what you're doing and nothing needs to change. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's true.
Yeah.
And if that's true, rock on, high five, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
For most people, though, something has to change.
Yeah.
Right? Because definitely. You're introducing something new into the mix. And so this just makes us aware of those elements that, you know, sometimes, we get into a conversation between lead and lagging indicators, lagging indicators. But mm-hmm. the main idea is, for instance, let's go back to me finishing my manuscript. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not going to happen on its own.
No.
I've got to make some changes, and I need to focus on those changes and build, like, focus solely on those changes to make the book happen. I was talking to Angela earlier today because she was like, well, you know, let's start thinking about the first draft of the book and what support you need for that, and have you know, start brainstorming that. And I kind of told her, it's like, look, my tentative goal, and I'm going to vet this out and sort of sit within the sea, is like, if I hit 2K of words for, you know, of public words a day, mm-hmm. like drafting that. Now, public words, here's what that means. I write a lot of email. You do too. Right. And, you know, I have other journaling process. Those are not public words. Mm-hmm. Right. But drafting 2K public words, if I do that every day, I should be fine. Mm-hmm. Now, how I get there is the question. Right. Yeah. So there's some changes. So, but you can see that the lead indicator, the thing that I really need to focus on, is not necessarily finishing the book mm-hmm. at this stage of the game. It's the activity that leads to the finished book, mm-hmm. writing 2K words. Now, if I spend 2 months writing 2K, you know, public words a day, and I've made no progress on the book, then I'm hiding my ass off, and mm-hmm. I need to recalibrate that plan, right?
Yeah.
But right now, the biggest thing that needs to change is just the volume of words, of public words that I get on paper, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So.
And for that, I mean, you know, the thing to think about with that, I think it's important to recognize with, you know, this question of what has to change for those goals to be able to be manifested, you know, just with the example you've given with, you know, turn in the manuscript by September 1st. It's done, turned in. you know that you're at this point wanting to write 2,000 public words a day. So where's that time going to come from?
Exactly.
And, you know, we don't need to get into all the ins and outs of that now, but it's important to recognize that the things that have to change are, like, more than likely, you probably already have a full schedule if you're anything like us, or you found a way to fill your schedule. So what's going to have to drop, right? And those are hard things to wrap our heads around sometimes, and they're incredibly important.
Yeah, and so since we both are coaches, and a huge element of our work is really focusing on the personal, you know, either life coachy domain, if you hate that, self-mastery, mm-hmm. and things like that, sometimes it's focusing on one thing will make all the other things come into place.
Yeah.
Right? And so I know that next year I have to work on boundaries, not emotional boundaries per se, mm-hmm. But temporal boundaries, mm-hmm. So that I make time for this.
Yeah.
Right? There are different types of boundaries here, right? If I focus on that and, you know, so a few other things and get the 2K words in there, then that's the thing that you got to focus on. So the reason I want to slide this is, and sometimes we think in terms of external things that you need to change or other people that need to change. Mm-hmm. But remember two things: a fish rots from the head, but it also swims from the head, right? And biologically that may not be true because there's muscles in the tail, but anyways, you guys get the point, right?
Yeah.
So the same source of change is also the same source of stifled, you know, of being stifled. So mm-hmm. I want you to focus a lot on what you need to change and take personal responsibility of those.
Yeah.
And so again, going back to the butthole boss, the odds of you changing butthole boss are not good, right? But the odds of you being more resilient and able to weather your butthole boss can change,
yeah.
right? The odds of your ability to create some buffer between butthole boss and home so that mm-hmm. you don't take it out on your family, that can change, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what you want to think about is in these, take personal responsibility of what needs to change within you mm-hmm. to make those changes happen.
Yeah. That reminds me, just a quick aside with that. Since I don't keep up with our content calendar, I'm not thinking of the exact date, but sometime either last week or I think maybe this week, our team put out one of my more recent posts about boundaries and saying no. And so that might be something that's helpful to think about whenever you're thinking about these goals.
Yeah. Show notes.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, they'll be show in the notes. Show notes. So, all right. So after what needs to change for you to achieve those goals, next major question is what sprints, strategic projects, or experiments could you run to help you achieve those goals?
What the heck are sprints?
There we go. I knew she was going to ask it. Sprints are a dedicated amount of time to where you decide that you're going to focus on one thing and get it done. And normally you try to compress time in a different way. And rather than saying, like, I'm just going to work on these things, you say, during this period of time, I am going to, if you're going to use sort of the framework that I use, I'm going to plan out what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go start doing the thing that I said I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to share my results with people or share the thing with people, and then I'm going to access. So it's four, from a creative perspective, mm-hmm. there's, you know, plan, create, ship, and assess. But you can think about this in anything. Like, there's a period of time where you might say, you know, for this 4 days, I'm going to focus on getting this one project done. Mm-hmm. Right. And you block out everything else and get it done as much as you can.
Yeah.
Now, the trick about sprints, especially really short ones, is they keep you in the project long enough that you're still interested in it, mm-hmm. but you don't get to the place to where it lingers on forever and ever and ever, right? And so that's what a sprint is. It's just a focused amount of time where you're trying to reach some specific example, some specific outcome. Okay. And so we've run, for instance, we recently ran a list building sprint for our community, mm-hmm. right, where they had a month to get their opt-in up and everything like that. Now, why did they have a month? Because it was just long enough mm-hmm. for them to get it done, mm-hmm. but not so long that they can go around to, you know, analysis paralysis and procrastination and things like that. So that's what you want to think about with sprints.
Okay.
Similarly with experiments, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I know this is maybe a way different way of thinking about personal change, mm-hmm. right, than people are familiar with, but the thing about it is we often don't know as much about ourselves as we think we do. Like mm-hmm. We are really bad at predicting what's going to make us happy. Mm-hmm. We're really bad about predicting about what's going to work for us, mm-hmm. right? And this is not just Charlie saying this. You could read Dan Gilbert's Stumbling on Happiness. It's a thing from positive psychology. Mm-hmm. And the gift of that is that you don't necessarily have to know. You don't have to be right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You can just test it.
Yeah.
Right? You can just test it. And so I mentioned earlier, like, you can kind of think of my 2K words a day as an experiment, mm-hmm. right? Because if I'm right, that solves the book, you know, the book problem, mm-hmm. then yay, I can just continue to do that. And that was the solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong, then I've closed one door. Mm-hmm. I've got a butt ton of words out there. So, cause they've got to be public words. That's the thing, right?
Yeah.
And I can make a better choice going forward because I'll have learned something from that process. Mm-hmm. That I can use to say, okay, well, it's not just about the words and it's not about me writing. Maybe I need to do X, and then I can go on an experiment and try that and see if that worked. Mm-hmm. It gets me further towards that. So that's the gift there, is that you can define, you can say, my assumption is if I do X, this will happen. Mm-hmm. You build a plan around doing that. You go do it, and it either worked or didn't. And it's not a character failing. It's not like, you know, you're uniquely defective about something. It's just that particular solution did not solve the problem. Mm-hmm. So you get to come up with another solution.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Was that relatively clear? Because I know sprints and experiments are different ways of thinking about things.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's incredibly helpful to think about it that way. And I guess the one thing that kind of had me chuckle just a little bit as you first started talking about the sprints is I love the idea of the shorter time period, or like I have this, you know, X amount of time to do this work, because when things start to languish, it's the worst to try to get back into a project. So yeah, anyway, I just wanted to say I really appreciate that piece of it for sure.
Yeah, you want to give yourself like 10% less time than you think you need. Mm-hmm. And you'll probably be able to figure it out. If you give yourself 50% more time than you need. Now, here's the tricky thing. We're terrible at estimating how long things take.
Yeah.
So this is a weird sort of thing that you've got to go on. But if you feel like, ooh, I'm really going to have to focus to get that done without feeling that huge sense of compression and anxiety, mm-hmm. you probably picked about the right time.
Yeah.
If you're like, oh, I got plenty of time to make this happen, you did not choose the right amount of time.
Yeah.
And if there's like, no way in hell I can make that happen. Mm-hmm. Probably the wrong amount of time. So there's this Goldilocks that happens that makes you sprint. I mean, it makes you lean forward and focus on it mm-hmm. without, you know, without it being super terrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question after the sprints, projects, and experiments is, who might be able to support you with those sprints, projects, or experiments? Mm-hmm. Now, general rule of thumb. Whenever you have a what or a how problem, mm-hmm. find a who solution. Excuse me, I need to go back. Whenever you have a how problem, mm-hmm. find a who solution.
Okay.
Right. And here's what I mean by that. A lot of times we get to a place where we don't know how to go forward, mm-hmm. right? Or we get stuck in all the 82 ways we might do it. And there's probably a who has done that or who can help you with that, that will constrain those options and get you going forward. So that's one thing that this does. The second mm-hmm. thing is that as you start thinking about who's on your success team,
yeah,
right, and who you can enroll and who can help you with this, and that's where the really fun things happen because, again, we see this in studies and, you know, positive psychology, and we just know it to be true. It's more fun to win with people mm-hmm. than it is just by yourself.
Yeah.
And you're more likely to do some things, certain types of things that you commit to certain types of people than you are just by yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's why you want to be thinking of the who. And again, it's personal and professional. There might be the same people. There might be different people.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything to say on that one?
I think, you know, the thing here is just the reminder of enlisting the help of other people and, you know, to not let your concern about being a burden get in the way when this kind of thing comes up. Because in general, people love to help and people love to see the people they care about win. So it's usually an honor for people to be able to help and support you.
Yes, with reasonable request.
Exactly.
So
boundaries.
Boundaries. And so it turns out what makes a lot of requests unreasonable is last minute questions. Exactly. Or last minute sort of like, can you do this thing for me right now and drop everything? Mm-hmm. Which leads me to the last major question is, when will you reach out to those people?
Mm. Yep.
We know in advance, right?
Yeah.
If these are the projects that you're committing to, these are the types of things, you know who you might want to help, you know, who you put on this list. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing something in March, don't wait until March the 3rd to ask someone, right? Maybe ask them in December, like, hey, I'm doing this thing in March. I would really appreciate your help or support, or, you know, I would really appreciate this specific thing. Mm-hmm. Is that something you can do? It makes a huge difference when it comes to having other people help you and things like that. And also, there's this other side benefit for those of us who are having difficulty asking for help, is it also gives you enough time to like pay it forward with that particular person. Like, hey, in March, I'm really going to need you. And it's super great if you can do it. But also, I'm wondering between now and again what I can do to support you. Right. And so you get into reciprocal interdependent relationships with people as opposed to these sort of last minute, you know, I need you to throw a Hail Mary for me at this last minute. Please drop everything and do it.
Yeah.
And then people resent you even if they love you and would otherwise want to help you. Because it's just like, dude, you've known about this for how long?
Yeah.
And now I got to like, you know, interrupt watching my kid playing soccer. Or not do that, or choose between my kid and you because I had no other option for this. Thanks.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like that too. I mean, we're in some senses, we're kind of talking about it, you know, within the framework in some ways of, you know, reciprocal relationships and friendships and that type of thing. But that can be the case even for like paid service providers as well. You know, if you know that in April, you are going to be needing, you know, this specific amount of help with copy, then if you know someone who you want to be working with, reach out to them early to make sure that they have time for you and that they're prepared and ready for you whenever it's coming up. So, yeah.
Yeah, the people worth working with oftentimes will not be able to work with you last minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Unless you pull a huge favor.
Yeah.
Right. And things like that. And again, I like to, you know, I like to use big unreasonable favors when I really, really need them. And otherwise count on sort of reasonable requests and relationships with people. Right. Yeah. And if I need a favor, then people know, like, if I'm asking them super last minute, like there's something going on and it's not coming from a place of resentment. Right. But if it's always last minute, always sort of thing, then I know I'm hitting this over the head because what I've seen working with people is way in advance. They might think like, oh, this person can totally help me with this. Like this friend, like they're blah, blah, blah. Right. But then they wait until the last minute to ask that friend and then they're frustrated because the friend didn't come through.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, there's a way around that. Right.
Yeah.
Is we can ask them earlier and maybe book some time, so on and so forth, right? So I'm just wanting people to have successful or really good interdependent relationships that that build their success. So that's why I'm stressing that so much.
Yeah, definitely.
And those are the questions. They're like, what, six questions? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. When I do these with people, real time, it's something that people can do in about 15 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, you know, so it doesn't take a whole long time to do. So rather than watching, you know, your comedy show for that day, like you can sit down and do it, or, you know, you can listen to this podcast and, you know, do it at a coffee shop, but you can steal time to get it done. This is going to be available as a fillable and printable PDF because that's how we roll with things. If you're not interested, that's fine. That's all good. I hope this has been useful for you. But remember a few sort of trends here that I wanted to pull up. One is to make sure you start grounded from where you are, like from a really from a place of celebration, from a place of gratitude, from a place of accomplishment. And not just from everything you haven't done. And then you can start asking those types of things where you haven't done. And this is not just Pollyanna sort of, you know, things about this. This is actually acknowledging the truth that you've accomplished great things. You've done something. And we also have this negativity bias that's just a part of human wiring.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. Two, another major trend is to think about what's affecting your personal life and professional life discreetly while understanding that they're interrelated.
Yeah.
Right? So they're not two separate things, but I think the lens of this is what's going on personally, this is what's going on professionally can be really helpful when doing that. And I will also say, treat your life like work. Right? Treat your life like work. And I mean, in like whatever you do that makes you successful at work, do that at in your personal life. So if you schedule things at work and it gets done, schedule things in your personal life and get done. If you do review meetings, you know, review sessions at work, do review sessions at home, have family meetings, like all those things that make your work work can also make your life work too.
Yeah.
So don't leave it hanging. Yeah. Third major thing is to be thinking about what needs to change. And focus on internal changes more than external changes, because you can't affect a lot of those external changes. Like if you need to go on a paleo diet, right, you might have to figure out how to do that on your own and not make your whole family go through that, right? Because waiting on your for your entire family to go paleo might mean that you're not going paleo, right? So that's like take that sort of personal responsibility. Third, reach out to people to help you with it and reach out to them early.
Yeah, those are great.
All righty. So that's how one can do a, you know, quick review of the year and, you know, a positive momentum focused, you know, way of going forward.
Yeah, that's great.
Anything else you want to say as you wrap up? Because you mentioned you want to talk about self-care. So.
Well, it's, you know, it's, I feel like it's tied into all of that, you know, what we talked about with the, you know, the looking at your goals, your victories, your challenges, all those things in my mind, require us to also think about self-care. So I feel like it's a piece and a lens that can be a part of this whole process, actually. And I guess I would say just specifically for the time of year that we're in this moment, would really be to be sure to take some time to slow down. And that's where being able to do this annual reflection might be helpful. It allows you to slow down. It allows you to really think and reflect. And to, you know, when we think about this time of year, for some people, it can be a very festive and cheery time. For other people, it can be overwhelming. For some people, it can be a very down and sad time of year. And for many of us, it can be all of these for different reasons and different circumstances. So I guess I bring that up just to give us all a reminder of where we're at is okay, and it's important that we honor what's coming up for us during this time of year and really spend the time to take care of ourselves so that we can better show up for the others in our lives.
So well said.
Thank you.
All righty. So if you are road tripping, or if you are just wanting more of this, again, the episodes you might want to listen to are episode 121 and episode 108, because there's more talking about reviews and goals and intentionality during the holidays, and they would be good companions to this particular episode. I hope that this has been useful for you. I hope that the year has it's been a really strange year for a lot of folks, especially in the United States with what's going on. Lots of changes, lots of disruptions, lots of loss, but also lots of wins, lots of positivity. And so I hope it's been a prosperous year for you. And I wish you the best for the holidays and for next year. Until next time, stand tall. Thanks for listening to Productive Flourishing. To get more resources that'll help you finish the work that matters and be your best self in the world, head on over to productiveflourishing.com. If this episode warmed your heart or got your wheels turning, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a review for the podcast on iTunes.